This is a passage that is often referred to as the little apocalypse for all of the imagery that Jesus evokes when he talks about what is to come for the community of God, the tearing down of the temple itself. And as we hear in the gospel, you know, this pronouncement from Jesus evokes some fear, some anxiety from his disciples. They're like, when, you know, tell us, when is this going to happen? And then they just get even more disconcerting news about what is in the future. Fear and anxiety, they can really motivate people to act, can't they? You know, we're not that far off from our election cycle, and I'm sure as much as we would love to just put that in our past, it's a great example, I think, of how there are folks, whether it's in marketing or politics or other avenues, that will seek to use fear and anxiety and negativity as these prods to action. You know, I imagine that it's not hard to picture a campaign ad saying, oh, don't vote for my opponent or else such and such and such might happen. Or perhaps if you're not big on politics, maybe you've opened up a magazine lately or turned on the TV and seen some commercials that say, well, if you don't want to face the consequences of this, you should get our product, you know, to help you, to change this, to keep you safe. Fear and anxiety, they'll really get to the heart of us and push us to act. People see this and they recognize it. They use it for their own ends. And Jesus is warning his disciples, warning his followers to not be led astray, to not be driven by that fear and anxiety that can so direct us. You know, anxiety, fear, negativity, they remind me of the bridle that gets used in horseback riding. I don't know if you've ever gone horseback riding yourself, but if you've ever seen horses or hung out with them, they're like big, powerful creatures, right? They're huge. And yet a rider can control the direction of a horse simply by pulling on this strip of leather because of how it's arranged, how it holds the horse in place, how it steers them, which is mostly true most of the time. I've ridden a horse once. I was a younger Joe then, in school and youth group, and we went to a ranch that was, you know, I think specifically like set up for people that don't ride horses, because what they, you know, they would take you out, they'd have someone that knew what they were doing, you know, one of the staff from the ranch would be on the lead horse, and then everybody else would be on a horse following in single file behind on this trail they would lead you around on. And all those other horses had been trained to be follow horses. Their primary objective, they knew, was that they were to follow that horse in front of them because that would be what would lead them back home. Like, that was their goal. That's what they had been trained to do. Which works great, you know, because you've got someone riding that horse that doesn't really know what they're doing necessarily. In theory, it works great. Except there was one point on our little journey around, we were going through this wooded area, lots of pine trees around us. We're kind of weaving through this trail. And I don't know exactly how it happened, but my horse and I, we fell a little bit behind the rest of the group. And we got to this point in the trail where it snaked around and doubled back. And so the horse could see through the trees between us the other horses. It's like, oh, that's where I'm supposed to be, is following those horses. So it pulls off the trail, just goes right through the woods, which is fine for it because all the branches are above its head. But for me, riding it, it's just, I'm like, oh my gosh. But that horse knew, as much as I was like, no, don't do that, stop, it knew it was to follow that lead horse. It did not care too much for what I was doing trying to pull at that bridle. We are called to be followers of Christ, to let Christ's ways and actions and teachings direct how we live and act in this world. Jesus says, do not be led astray. Be wary of those who come in my name saying, I am he. But test everything. Continue to remember those lessons I've taught you about loving others, about caring for those in need. And even in the midst of the scariest, most world-ending events that we can imagine taking place. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, the very, as Jesus said, the temple, which at that time was the center of life and worship for the community, the house that held the very presence of God among them being torn down. In the midst of all these things, be wary of those who would lead you astray. Continue to be faithful, to trust and to follow. Even in the midst of these apocalypses, of all of this death and destruction, all of these things which would produce anxiety in us and fear, in all of these things, God is yet faithful. God is continuing to work in and through the world, pushing for the kingdom of God to be formed in our midst, to bring about a new thing, newness of life, hope, love, compassion, peace, mercy. And Jesus ends these dire warnings by saying that these are but the birth pangs. And I think that's a very intentional comparison for Jesus to tie these experiences to the process of birth. And what I mean when I say it, because even though in the midst of this, it is God who is doing this thing, who has redeemed each of us and all of creation through Christ's actions, even though the promise of new life is made certain by God's faithfulness, it would be improper of us as God's people, as God's followers, to write off the events of this world around us, the suffering of people around us, as unimportant. To adopt a position of dispassionate stoicism about the cares and concerns in our community. You know, just as though Jesus is saying, you know, do not give in to fear and anxiety about what is going on in the world. I think in making this comparison to birth pangs, Jesus is also saying, do not be apathetic. Do not be uncaring. Because, as is my understanding, from my kind of peripheral standpoint, when birth pangs take place, it is appropriate to respond with action. Even if they're expected, you're like, oh yeah, I knew this was going to happen. This is all part of the process. One does not respond by then just sitting back and like, all right, it's just going to happen. Like, it's all good. Like, you want to move. You want to get together with people who are committed to that process of bringing that new life into this world. You want to whatever your role is in that community, be ready for your action, whether that's to push or to hold hands and to encourage and to remind people to breathe or to catch, whatever it is that you're doing, like, you've got to be ready. You've got to be willing to move and to take part. And so we're called as followers of Christ, as people of God, to live into this balance, to care for one another in the midst of everything that might be happening in the world around us, to share this peace that comes from grounding ourselves in God, living out lives of compassion that even as the stones of this world are thrown down around us, that the people in our midst would see through our love, through our words and through our actions, the faithfulness and the love that we have received from the one who is greater than death and destruction. Amen.